Hello, everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory.
He is best known for his New York Times best-selling book on fasting, along with others he has written, Believe That You Can, Fear Fighters, and now his latest, The Spirit of Python, exposing Satan's plan to squeeze the life out of you. As host of the internationally televised Kingdom Connection and senior pastor of Free Chapel Church in Gainesville, Georgia, as well as Gwinnett, Georgia, and Free Chapel Church in Orange County, Irvine, California, my next guest knows a little something about what it takes to make it work when God says go, but also what it takes when the enemy of our soul is saying no. You can't do that. You'll never make it. Why even try? Resulting in a life that leaves one barely breathing. Is that you today? Would you welcome to Testimony a wonderful honor indeed? Pastor, author, speaker, evangelist, and husband and father of five, Pastor Jensine Franklin. Pastor Franklin, welcome to Testimony.
Thank you, Jensine. It's so nice to be with you and your audience today.
Well, it's a real blessing to have you here today, Pastor. I want to thank you for taking the time to share with our listeners the why and the how of why you wrote your latest, The Spirit of Python, which is a critical read in my view for any serious believer wanting to truly overcome adversity and dashed expectations. But before we get to all of that in part one of our two-part conversation today, Pastor, can you just please tell us your story, how you came to faith in Jesus Christ, and what propelled you from where you were to where you are today? Pastor Franklin, please tell us that story.
Well, Jensine, my story is one of being raised in church pretty much my whole life. One time I was on the 700 Club with Pat Robertson, and I'll never forget it. They had a guy who was a converted warlock, and he was interviewed right before me, and his story was so bizarre. He had gone so deep into sin and witchcraft and Satanism and all of that, and mine was the total opposite. Pretty much all I've ever known is church. My parents raised me in church. They understood you can't grow bananas in Alaska, and so if you want to, but you can in Jamaica, and if you want to grow, you know, children who love God, keep them in church. And so we went to church, it seemed like, almost every day, and prayer meetings and all kinds of things. You know what? It worked. It got in my DNA, and all I ever wanted to be, you know, since about 15 or 16 years of age was an instrument that God could use. So at the age of 16, I received Christ as my Savior, and then at 20, I received the call. I was majoring in music in college. I was on a full scholarship. I play saxophone and love jazz, particularly on saxophone, and that was really a pursuit, you know, that I had that dream of being a musician and all of that, was well on my way. And God, the second year of my college, it just shifted. I went on a little fast and didn't really know that much about fasting, but went on a fast for 3 days, and it changed my life. And it was then that I had a real God encounter and knew that God had something different for me. And so I changed directions and began to preach that summer with my brother, and we never stopped. We just kept going, and then one thing led to another, and before we knew it, you know, we were in full-time ministry. And I'm so thankful. God has been so faithful and has helped us, you know, reach a lot of people for Christ, for which we give Him all the glory.
Wow. So how did you avoid becoming a rebellious PK kid? What did your parents do?
Yeah, you know, my parents just were real. I didn't see I look at some of these reality shows, the preachers of wherever, and sometimes they're one thing in the pulpit and they're something else, in the home. And my parents were the opposite. What you saw, what you see is what you get, kind of thing. I think that's the deal, the authenticity of just being real. Just, you don't have to fake it, you don't have to pretend. And there was something about that that just it touched me, and it got in me. And I also have two brothers and two sisters in the same thing. All of us are in ministry, and it was just an amazing family that God had blessed me with. So, I did go through a season of rebellion. I did go through a little time when I wanted to experiment and see what was out there. But I tell people, I would get high, my friends would get high and they would see pink elephants. I would get high and see Moses and Elijah and the four horses of the apocalypse. I was just always thinking Jesus could come and I could be left behind. And that's the power of putting faith in your children. They may stray and they may go this route and that route when they go off to school and different things and experiment. But when you've got that anchor of faith in them, they're going to come back to it.
Wow, that's really refreshing to hear. I was amazed to hear in your book that your mother is one of 18 children, and her mother...
Actually, 28, that's right.
One
actually,
of 28 children?
28 children.
Oh, my Lord in heaven. Okay, and her mother passed away at a relatively young age, and so what age... was she left virtually holding the bag, or should I say, the kids?
Yeah, my mother was about 16 when her mother passed away, and she was pretty much one of the oldest. And she now presently is on staff at our church here. My father has gone on to be with the Lord, but she is amazing. She's over our senior adult ministry here, and it's just incredible. She does rest home services, and I think she does, like, last count was like 9 rest home services a week, and she's just a prayer warrior and full of joy and an amazing person.
And you talk about that in your book. She really put an altar of prayer in her garden, and literally God showed her who her husband would be in prayer, in a vision.
Yeah, that's right. I do believe that God has the greatest matchmaking service in the world, and if we would, commit everything to Him, including our relationships, put it on the altar, give it to God. He really knows who you need and when you need them, and if you're a half person, you'll attract a half person. But if you're a whole person, I really encourage single people to spend the time that you have if you're by yourself becoming a whole person, because a whole person will attract a whole person.
That's so true. That's excellent. Franklin, I want to get into your book, Pastor Franklin, The Spirit of Python. Can you tell our listeners, and we're going to get more into this in our second segment, but let's get into a little of it now. What is the spirit of Python? And why do you allude to this type of snake? What does this mean?
Well, the book is about spiritual warfare, and a lot of people listening may say, well, that stuff, I don't know about that. But it's vital that you know about that. It's vital because people are dealing with things today that are not just natural problems. And I'm not a demon chaser. I don't go around looking for evil spirits and all that. But the truth is, there's a real battle that is raging in the unseen world, and you better understand that and know that if you want to win and have victory in your home, your family, and in your life. And so, in the book of Acts, the 16th chapter, the Apostle Paul encountered a woman who had the spirit of divination, and the word divination in Greek is Python. And I thought it was so interesting that out of all of the names that this evil spirit could have taken on, it God said it was a spirit of Python. And a python is a spirit, is a snake in the natural that kills its victim not by its bite, but by coiling itself around and squeezing subtly, slowly, little by little, it chokes the breath out of its victim. And breath in the scripture is a type of the Holy Spirit, of spiritual life. Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So Python is a spirit that doesn't care if you have a form of religion. He wants to choke the breath or the life of the Holy Spirit. Choke the breath out of your prayer life. Choke the breath out of your walk with God, to where you're just a shell. And you're doing it, you're going to church, you're being religious, but there's no spiritual life in you. And so we talk about how that, you know, Paul encountered the spirit of Python and what he did to break it.
Talk about some of the things that a person can do to break that spirit in their life. And then we're going to talk in our next segment about how a Christian, or anyone for that matter, opens the doorway for this spirit to even come in.
Yeah, well, you know, I tell people, you know, there are warning signs that you're under spiritual attack. How do you know that you're under spiritual attack? Just like a person has warning signs of a heart attack that can save their life, tightness of chest in their chest, or, you know, pain and so on, shortness of breath. There are warning signs given to us in God's Word that we're under spiritual attack. One of them is lack of desire. When you just, you know, it takes discipline to read the Word and so on, but there's something beyond that. When you lose all spiritual desire, the lack of desire to read the Word, to pray, to go to church, to worship, to be around other, you know, believers, the lack of spiritual desire is a warning sign that you're under spiritual attack. Satan and his evil spirits are targeting you when you lose the want to and the desire. Another warning sign of spiritual, you know, attack is when old iniquities begin to resurface, old sins, things that you let go of and things that you put on the altar and gave to God, but those things slowly, subtly begin to come back into your life, and maybe an addiction or something, and it begins to take, and you begin to excuse it, and you begin to go back, and you begin to give yourself back to it. That is a real sign that you're under spiritual attack. I'll give you one more that we mentioned in the book, ungodly relationships. You know, when you don't have any desire to be around spiritual people and believers anymore, but you want to, you have more in common with unbelievers than you do believers. Not that we don't want to witness and all of that, but you need a core of people that help you in your walk with God. And when people begin to pull away from church, pull away from church attendance, pull away from small groups, pull away from being involved with other believers, it's a real sign they're under spiritual attack.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Pastor Jensen Franklin of Free Chapel Church and author of the powerful and life-changing read, The Spirit of Python. We are going to hear more from Pastor Franklin next week on Testimony and delve more into how you can avoid being a victim of this spirit and overcome it if you are now. Pastor Franklin, thank you for being with us on this segment of your amazing book, and we look forward to speaking with you next week on Testimony. God bless you.
Thank you.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensen Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensenbard.com. That's one word, JensenBard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensen Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony.
Last week you heard the very real and transparent story of a man God is using to greatly impact our nation and this generation for Christ. Through his weekly international televised program, Kingdom Connection, and the churches he pastors on both East and West Coasts, Free Chapel Gainesville and Gwinnett, Georgia, and Free Chapel Orange County, California. My next guest, who started from small beginnings, but with a big God, has grown to impact millions every week in the nation and around the world. He is the best-selling author of several books. His latest, The Spirit of Python, which we are going to delve more in today, and is an accomplished musician, husband, and father of five. Would you welcome back to Testimony in my two-part exclusive, senior pastor of Free Chapel, television host, and award-winning author, a great pleasure indeed, Pastor Jensen Franklin. Pastor Franklin, welcome back to Testimony.
Thank you, Jensen. It's so great to be back with you.
Well, it is an honor to have you here, sir. You shared a little of your life with us last week, how you personally came to know Christ, and some of the battles you've had to overcome. You started preaching to the trees, I was told, and didn't really have the confidence to speak to people, but now you're speaking to thousands. How did you overcome that?
Well, I think prayer helps build your confidence, certainly, and just experience. And, you know, you have to, you just have to, when God's called you to do something, that doesn't mean that you won't have to overcome fear. And fear will, the fear of people, the fear of rejection, the fear of failure will absolutely paralyze you if you let it. I tell people fear is a dark room where you grow your negatives, you know, and if you allow them, they will stop you from doing the will of God. And faith is spelled R-I-S-K. And sometimes you just have to step out and do what you feel the fear, but you do it anyway. And to this day, you know, I mean, I still get a little nervous, but I'm glad for that. I think that always keeps us leaning on the Lord and saying, God, you know, I'm going to do everything I can do to prepare, but when it's all said and done, I need your anointing, I need your spirit, I need your direction, I need your touch on what I'm doing. And I think God kind of likes it that way, where we do all we can, and then he does what we can't do.
Amen, and well said. Last week you talked about what the spirit of Python is and how it can invade our life. What are some of the doorways that this spirit enters in a Christian's life, or anyone's life for that matter, unknowingly? Right. Can you explain?
Yeah, I think, you know, we talked about last week from Acts 16 how Paul encountered the spirit of Python. It's called divination in the New Testament, but the Greek word is Python. And that meaning that it's a spirit that wants to choke the life or the breath, just like a python chokes the breath out of its victim, and breath represents the spirit of God. And so one way that the enemy really attacks our lives is through our thought life. The greatest battle that's taking place is not the battle between angels and demons and the heavenly, it's between our ears. It's the battle between our ears for control of our mind. Because the enemy knows that your life will always move in the direction of the dominant thoughts you allow to reside in your mind. And so I think, especially the younger generation, and I'm a parent of five children, that the battle for the thought life, you know, the eye gate, what are they looking at? It used to be that pornography and things like that were behind the shelf somewhere. But now with computers and iPhones and so on, it's so accessible to this generation. So Jesus said, if your eye is pure, your whole body is pure. But if the eye is corrupted, then it defiles the whole body. And then the ear gate, you know, the music, the profanity.
When a person realizes he is under attack by this spirit, what should be his first line of defense? In other words, what are the next steps to overcoming or even realizing that you're under attack?
Yeah, well, when Paul and Silas first encountered this woman with the spirit of Python, the Bible said they were on their way to the place of prayer. They were going to the temple to pray. So there's a real hint as to what Python really resists. He does not want us to pray. He does not want us to have a place of prayer and a time of prayer. They were going at the time, at the hour of prayer, the scripture said. And, you know, you'll never pray unless you have a place of prayer and a time of prayer. And Python wants to squeeze the breath and squeeze prayer out of our agenda. And it's not always natural things and busyness that keeps us from prayer, but sometimes the enemy of our soul knows that if I can keep them from prayer, I can keep them from victory. You know, the greatest tragedy of prayerlessness is the unemployment of angels. Jesus prayed in the garden, and an angel came. Paul prayed in the middle of a storm, and an angel came and stood by him. Peter prayed when he was in prison, and an angel came and opened every door and severed every chain. And so the greatest tragedy of prayerlessness is the unemployment of angels. And wonder how many people's angels are standing in the unemployment line in heaven because they don't pray.
Well, we talked in our last segment about how your mother literally prayed her husband into her life, and she was a tremendous example for you. Have you had your own personal spirit of Python to deal with? And if yes, what was it, and how did you overcome it?
Yeah, you know, one of the things, too, that that we talk about in the book, Paul and Silas, not only were going to prayer, but they were about to leave on their first missionary journey. In other words, they were going to expand the ministry, to go to places they've never gone. And that's when Python shows up, when you're about to expand, when you're about to, you know, a Python snake is one that restricts, one that holds back, one that tightens his grip. And he wants you to go so far, but no further. And Paul and Silas, I think it's interesting that they were about to go on the first missionary journey they had ever taken, and that's when they encounter a woman with the spirit of Python. And so the enemy attacks us when we're about to, there's two times when you're most vulnerable, when you have nothing and when you have everything. And when you're, and the enemy will always attack you greatest at the point where you're about to have a breakthrough and you're about to go into an area you've never gone. And certainly I've seen that in our ministry. It seems like every time, Jensine, when we were about to expand, when we were about to go on television for the first time, we had just the enemy come against us in ways that we never dreamed. And you can say that's coincidence, but I don't believe it is. Mm-hmm. Every time that we've, you know, added another campus or did, you know, expanded the ministry to reach another market of people, another nation, it seems like the enemy will try his best to come and coil himself around us and stop the expansion. But greater is he that is in us. But we have to learn how to put on the whole armor of God, which we talk about in the book, and how to, even the words that we speak and the thoughts that we think and the being filled with the breath or the Holy Spirit afresh can make such a difference, because it's not by might or power, it's by my spirit, says the Lord.
I love all of that. This is why you're a preacher. This is why everyone, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Pastor Jensen Franklin of Free Chapel Church in Georgia and California. Pastor, in your book on page 128, you talk about a person's when, not second when, but W-H-E-N. Can you talk about that, the significance about that?
Yeah, we talk about catching your second wind, and it's a play on words, not W-I-N-D, as you said, but W-H-E-N. And it's a reference to when Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke and thought like a child, but when I became an adult, then, you know, my life changed, and I went in a different direction. And you have to catch your second wind, and what we're talking about in that is that there are times when, If you don't break free from the limitations, you know, I really feel like people listening to us may feel like that they've gone as far as they can go. I know there's been seasons and times in this ministry where it felt like I had gone as far as we could go and we couldn't get a breakthrough. That's when you need to catch your second wind. That's when the wind of the Holy Spirit needs to come and fill you afresh. You know, all of us need those encounters. It's great, you know, when you first start out and you're really on fire for God and everything's amazing. But it's possible to lose the all. It's possible to just become mechanical almost in your walk with God. And that's when you have to catch your second wind. and the wind of the Holy Spirit has to fill you all over again, and suddenly there's freedom in your prayer life and freedom in your praise. And the way that Paul and Silas broke the power of Python off of their life is the Bible said they were arrested and put in prison, and at midnight they sang praises unto God. Midnight is the darkest hour, and people may be listening to us facing their darkest hour, but one of the greatest weapons you have is the power of your own personal praise. That when you get filled with that life of God, you begin to praise God, and the praise that cost you the most counts you the most. If it's midnight and darkest than it's ever been, darker than it's ever been, that's the time to praise God even more, because your praise becomes a spiritual weapon.
Wow, that is so powerful. So prayer, praise, and in our remaining moments, how important is obedience?
Well, it's critical. You know, when God is going to give you a miracle, we ask God for a miracle, and He'll give an instruction. You know, Joshua, you want a miracle? March seven times. You want a miracle, Naaman? You need to be healed of leprosy. Go dip into the water of Jordan seven times. We ask God for a miracle, and God gives us an instruction. And so step out by faith. And again, faith is spelled R-I-S-K. And sometimes you're stepping out on nothing like Simon Peter, but a word from the Lord. You have to get out of the boat of security and comfort, and and walk out of the safe zone into the faith zone. But if you do it, Jesus is out there. Jesus is out there in that realm where you have to trust in Him completely and vacate the sure thing and do what He's told you to do. And I'd rather be a wet water walker, because he did start to sink, but Jesus lifted him up. I'd rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat talker. The disciples just sat on the boat and talked, but Peter walked on the water with Jesus.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Senior Pastor of Free Chapel Church, Jensen Franklin, and author of the powerful and life-changing read, The Spirit of Python. You can learn more about Pastor Franklin's ministry by going to www.jensenfranklin.org and get his book, The Spirit of Python, at amazon.com. The Word says, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." Don't be one of them. Pastor Franklin, thank you for being with us today on Testimony, and please keep up your tremendous work for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are being used by God to set the captives free. God bless you.
Thank you, Jensen.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensen Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensenbard.com. That's one word, JensenBard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensen Bard. Thank you for listening. And please join us again for Testimony.